Let us turn our hearts now as we reflect on this word to God in prayer. Let us pray. God of amazing grace, you show us such goodness, Lord. We've heard about that today in the work of our school. We felt it today through your Spirit in the waters of baptism and in the joy of children receiving the Scripture, receiving their own Bibles. Lord, every drop of grace that we know comes from you. So now, Lord, as we come to reflect upon that grace, to share in reflection upon your word, Lord, we pray that you would open us, open our hearts, Lord, open our lives to be ready, ever ready, to join your good work in the world. Move us today as we listen to the example of Jesus to become even more active participants in expanding your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We pray, Lord, in his holy name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we're in our second week of the series, So Good, and I'm not going to give you a craving for tacos today like Pastor Daniel did last week, but think about what is so good in your life. That's what we're talking about, except we're talking about the goodness of your faith, the goodness of your relationship with Jesus. Last week, Pastor Daniel, he did start out talking about tacos to have you think about something so good, but he moved that to talk about how God calls us in mission to extend the goodness of our relationship with God, with others, with everyone in the world. Today, we're going to take this topic a little bit deeper. Last week, we were talking about mission. This week, we're going to talk about connection, how we connect with others in that so good relationship that we know in Christ and that we know in the community of Christ. So last week, missional. This week, relational. And I'm going to jump into, you've heard Principal Aiello thank us about for our good relationship with her school and the good work that we do there. And it's wonderful to hear that good connection. But the reality is, when we think about our relationship as individuals and the people of Christ in the world, we always don't have such a positive reputation, unfortunately, as a body together. So when you think about how Christians, I'm not talking about necessarily us, but the body of Christians are viewed by others, what do you think our reputation is? How do people view us church folk? And that's a question. What do you think? If there was a word that people generally attach to us, what do you think that word or those words are? Ooh, immediately you hear judgmental and hypocritical, right? Immediately you hear that. What else? Oh, okay. Well, I was looking at, I've been a student of the church for many years, and I was looking at a recent data set, something that gave me a broad data set within the past year to kind of see how research was holding on us. Again, not Flourish Church, but the people of Christ as a whole. And I pulled out this broad-scale research. This was done by the Episcopal Church, our brothers and sisters in the Episcopal Church, post-pandemic, just last year, 2022. And there's a whole body of research if you want to look at this. I pulled this graph that has to do with positive and negative characteristics. Now, the first column is how Christians feel about Christians. Now, the Episcopal Church labeled this, and I don't mean to be critical, but they say Christians overwhelmingly associate positive characteristics with other Christians. I didn't read this as so positive in terms of how we rate ourselves. So, I mean, in the 50s for some of the good, the ones with the plus, the green ones, loving, 50% of Christians think other Christians are loving. 49% think we're friendly. Now, this was not just Episcopalians. This was like a broad scale Episcopal survey. And you can see that even in the Christian, we end up on the negative side, that one that you mentioned, judgmental. 19% of us think we're judgmental. And then people of other faiths, you can kind of see where judgmental and hypocritical rise up there. A lot of negatives. 20% think we're friendly. That's okay, I guess. And then the last column, the one that's kind of our target for sharing our faith, for sharing the goodness of our faith, a lot of negatives. A lot of strong negatives. 55% of those that are not religious think we're hypocritical. And other kind of things, arrogant and selfish, get kind of high, you know, almost a quarter of a percent. Some of them, some of the non-religious do think we're giving, friendly, and compassionate, thank goodness. But very low percentages. There's a huge body of work here, if you want to look it up, that the Episcopal Church did. This is just one piece of data. But I think what the study revealed is that we who follow Christ, we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do in relationship. This data set has many negative findings, if you look at fullness. Bishop Michael Curry, he's the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, he said there's a disconnect between the reality of Jesus and the perceived reality of Christians. So who Jesus is and who we are as Christ in the world. Curry noted this. This was another finding that they asked people, like, how did they view Jesus? And of all people, 84% of people view Jesus positively as an important spiritual figure in the world, 84%. And that included 50% of those that aren't affiliated with any religion view Jesus. So the good news of how we are standing in the world is that Jesus still has sway. That's good news. Jesus is still influential, but we Christians are not viewed so positively, not so much. Now, in our reading that the kids have marked, the third graders have marked in your Bibles from Mark chapter 10, we enter into a story that might be familiar. Jesus is ministering. Mark, we've been asking you, by the way, who's reading? You don't have to show a show of hands, but who's reading Mark? We're asking you to read the Gospel of Mark in this series, Parents of Third Graders. This is like an opportunity for you all as families together to read the Gospel of Mark. Kelly suggested that maybe you focus on the first 8 chapters. First, don't read 8 chapters at once, but spend some time in those first 8 chapters and then see how far you can move into reading. And for the whole church, the Gospel of Mark is only 16 chapters. It's not very long, but we're encouraging you, as we're talking about the goodness of our faith, the goodness of Christ, to be in the gospel. So you may think, oh, I've taken disciple 12 or whatever. I don't think there's that many, and I've read Mark a lot. Return to it. Return to it in the season where we're talking about Jesus and the goodness of our faith, and see how God's Spirit speaks to you as you read the gospel of Mark once more. So we're in chapter 10 where Jesus blesses the children here. And when we think about that in context, a lot has happened in the Gospel of Mark. Mark's gospel moves quickly. It's at a quick pace. And so as Jesus has this encounter, he's been with the disciples for more than 2 years at this point. The disciples have seen him do wondrous things. They've seen him preach incredibly and draw crowds to him. They've seen him heal people, raise people from the dead. They feel the magnetism of his compassion, all of his positive, so good traits, right? All of those things that you put in that infographic last week as we populated that on the screen with Pastor Daniel. The disciples and the world had seen all those things in Christ. So here, Jesus is with the people in chapter 10, and it seems so strange to me that the disciples would have been with this compassionate Jesus for all this time and parents probably are bringing their children, they're bringing guys like you, third graders, up to Jesus, and the disciples are sternly trying to keep the kids away from Jesus. They know his heart, right? They've seen him, but these disciples think they're doing the right thing. This is one of the places in Scripture where Jesus gets kind of cross with his disciples. The translation we read said indignant. Jesus is shocked to anger, indignant with the disciples because they're blocking the children from coming up. People are wanting their children, just like we blessed the third graders, just like we blessed you guys. Parents are wanting access to Jesus for their children, and the disciples say, no, he doesn't have time for it. Keep these kids away. They're sternly shooing the parents off. And Jesus says, no. He's indignant. He says, bring the children here. Let them come to me. For such as these guys, such as the children, is the kingdom of God. And Jesus begins, Mark says, he takes the children in his arms and he blesses them. He blesses them. He brings them right into the center, just like we're doing today, just like we brought Mackenzie up on stage, right front and center, and we walked her down the center aisle, and we brought the third graders up here, and we're going to call out all the kids with their backpacks. Jesus shows us that those that the disciples thought weren't important are important. You kids are so important to Jesus. In this time when Jesus was ministering, kids were supposed to be on the margin. That's what people thought. They were supposed to be quiet and somewhere else, but Jesus says, no, there is no barrier to me. Everyone is welcome. Those that you might think are on the edge, they're not on the edge. It's important with this text for the adults in the room, not to miss the meaning of it, because it's beautiful, right? You think about the little children coming to Jesus, and Jesus taking them in arm and blessing them. My grandmother was a principal. She was a school teacher and a principal, and when she passed away in her Methodist church, they have a wall in their church where you can put up a picture of someone that has been a saint in the church and attach a scripture to it. This is the scripture that we put up for my grandmother as a principal and a teacher. Let the little children come unto me. So it's sweet, right? It talks about some people's calling in life. But when we look a little bit deeper at this text, we have to look at what Jesus was doing. Jesus was teaching all of us that we should not bar anyone. Anyone. He was teaching the disciples that there's a perception. A perception when you try to be too busy. I'm sure they were thinking, Jesus is busy. He has things to do. He doesn't have time for the children. Like, come on, we've got people to heal. You've got a sermon to preach, Jesus. And Jesus says, no, the kingdom is so much broader. The unlikely are those that I want to lift up. And in fact, you need to become like them because they're wanting to be blessed by me. Their parents are bringing them to me. You all need to pay attention. So Jesus is indignant here. Jesus shows us there are no barriers, that all are included. St. Augustine, he proposed that in Christ, I love this, there is no one that is other than me, he said, but only the other of me. That's the way Christ lived, right? Everyone part of the body, right? The body of Christ. So our connection, our inclusion is God's intention, that no one would be pushed to the side. For the early disciples, it was the kids, they were property. Oh no, put them on the side. They should be quiet. They don't know. Jesus says, no. The kingdom is just like this. For such as this is the kingdom of God. There were others that they tried to prevent, and Jesus talked to them in the light of day when you weren't supposed to. He blessed them. For us in our modern context where we're so interconnected, but other research tells us that we're so lonely, this text should challenge us to think about our connection. and the goodness of our connection in Christ, how it can shape the world. How do others see that you are a part of something good? How does your life in Christ bless others? Daniel mentioned last week that we were using a source material for this series, a book called So Beautiful by one of our Methodist theologians, Leonard Sweet. Leonard writes this. He says, church too often has been selling a philosophy called Christianity or marketing a product called church rather than lifting up Christ. So a question as we look deeply at this text and we think about those in the room that we're lifting up today, how are you lifting people to Jesus? How are you lifting up Jesus or lifting people to him? Because Jesus takes the kids in his arms. How are you that looking for that person on the margin to say, I have this faith that makes a difference to me. It's so good in my life. And I think that connection might have some meaning to you too. Are you willing to slow down enough? Or are you putting up barriers? Or are you seeing barriers that the church or other Christians have that you might be called to take down? I saw in the news recently a really cool thing. This is from Canada. There's this store, grocery store in Canada, it's called Sobeys, I think, in Belmont, Canada, where they established a slow social checkout line. Think about it. Think about it. So have you ever been in the checkout line with like all your groceries and stuff and you're wanting to get home because you're busy and you're wanting to cook dinner and the cashier is having like extensive conversations with every person in front of them and you're almost there and there's two people and they just keep talking. It seems like they know each other and think, well, maybe she knows that person, and then the next person comes up and they're having an extensive conversation as your ice cream melts, right? Have you been there? And you get frustrated and you get angry because all this conversation is going on. Well, at the store in Belmont, Canada, the manager noted that there was one checkout line that was slower than all the others, and that was Jason's checkout line. And when I read the story, there's a picture of Jason holding up his slow social lane sign saying, be love. And what the manager did, I've got a quote from him. The manager said that he noticed that Jason was connecting with people and people were enjoying conversation with him. And he said, let's use his gifts. He loves people. He's connecting with them. Let's use his gifts. The manager says, it's a labor of love, really. Serving our friends and family in the community, said the store manager. It enriches lives. Sometimes we're bringing people out of a dark space. So he took Jason's gifts of being connectional and relational, and he set up this slow social line where people that want to talk and connect about things that are lonely can go and have their groceries slowly checked out by Jason as he blesses the community there in Belmont, Canada. Making meaningful connections. That's what we're all called to do. I think when we do that, it will push up against that negative stuff. Let's put that graph back up there. Taking time to be compassionate and loving and respectful and friendly, for goodness sakes, humble, not judging, not being self-righteous, not being arrogant. Unforgiving, selfish, those negative, how we're perceived in the most simple interactions, whether it's in our work, in our family, in the encounters that we have with strangers in the community. I am certain that Christ is often indignant with us. That in our busyness and in our way of doing things, we wall people off, just like the disciples were doing. Yet goodness, my Siri is saying she doesn't get that. In goodness, God has imprinted his goodness in Christ upon us. And that's what we're to share with the world around us. That's what we're called to do. You have to think about how you're being perceived when you rush through. or when something's happening in the church and you're not thinking about the person on the outside, the new person, the visitor, the person at the distance, the children in the room. How we include. We gave you a tool this morning as you came into worship, just a simple thing. You got a card about our sermon series that we're in right now, where we're talking about the goodness of Christ and the goodness of the people of God. How simple might it be to just hand this card to somebody and say, I'm a part of something good. My relationship with Christ makes a difference. And we're having this series right now. There's a couple more weeks of it. Would you come with me to church? I'll sit with you. We'll go out to lunch afterwards. There's some great opportunities to sign up for things right now. I'd love to serve with you in a ministry in the coming weeks. I'd love to take a class with you. How hard is that to do? And then authentically be present with that person who may have no idea how to integrate in a big place like this. That's simple. Think about how you take the goodness of God and you lift Jesus up, and maybe even you lift people up that Jesus might bless them like he did the little children. Amen.